Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Well, as you know, 51551, wash your hands. That is our text number. Let me, Eamon Bourne. Eamon, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You're reading the RT website, RT News, which says...
I get these updates and I read them and I get so annoyed at times when you... what you read and...
Okay, what you read today was Gardaí will not be given additional powers to restrict people's movements. You say that's not the impression you were given about level 3.
No, that's not the impression I was given last night. But then again, if you think back, we got that all the way along, and we had our president signing laws, and then we were told the Garda had no powers. Do you know?
Yeah.
I mean, who's running the country? I mean,
Well, the reps have been on today say, you know, it's a consensus model in Ireland. We educate... we encourage, but then the enforcement is the third E that's missing at the minute.
Yeah, but surely, with the way things are going at the moment, and I mean, I've seen it myself, people are not adhering to what the recommendations are. So if they're not going to adhere to it, we have to enforce them.
Yeah, well, they said they're setting up checkpoints. But what do you want to do? Arrest people who are breaking for the border between Dublin and Meath?
I don't know what they can do, but something has to be done, you know?
Okay, let me go to Mark. Mark, stay there, Eamon. 1850 715 815. Mark, you're in a much more serious situation because of level 3. What's happened?
Well, obviously, I'm a bartender, so where I will work from tonight, and this is my second time today I will work. Obviously, I was out for 6 months before, and I completely understand it and get it. If that's what has to happen for all of us to get better and get over this, I completely understand it. But we have jumped through so many hoops in the last 2 weeks, and we're absolutely doing our best to keep us open. And to no fault of our own now, we're closed. And when I say no fault of our own, what I'm referring to is my local shops. Now, I won't mention the name of that, obviously, but some of them are big, well-known companies in this country. And I've been told by members of staff when I said, why isn't somebody wearing a mask in the shop? And they've told me that they're not allowed to say it for fear that, I suppose, they'd walk out and spend the money somewhere else.
And what has it been like for you in that 2 weeks hiatus you got, 2 weeks open since... The only fortnight you've been open since when? Last March. What was that like? Yeah. The last 2 weeks.
It's been good. It's been very different.
Has it been observant, Mark?
Yeah, but like the smoking thing when that came in. You know, it takes a little while for everybody to get used to the rules, and I have to say, over the last 2 weeks, everyone's been brilliant. A little forgetful at first, but when they're reminded, easy peasy, and the next time they come in, they're fine, you know.
So, okay. And have you any outdoor space for 15 customers at a time?
We do indeed, yeah, but we're not going down that road.
Oh, why not?
You'd have to ask my employer that, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's probably not viable, or now we're in
I wouldn't think so, no.
We're heading into winter.
Turn on the lights, so.
Yeah.
But my grievance is that it's... We have done so many things right, and now we're closed. Yet my local shops that are not allowed to ask people to put on the masks are still trading.
Yeah. Okay, and they are shops. That's one of the main things. By not going to level 5, shops can stay open. Shopping malls can stay open. Yeah. Shops, all retail shops. Stay with us, Mark. Philip O'Reilly, how does it affect you at the moment?
To be honest, Joe, I received an email this morning from my daughter's school to say that the communion is not going ahead again due to level 3 restrictions. And I was fuming when I received this email. And it's nothing to do against Mark or anybody in the pub trade or anything like that. But the whole thing about pubs that are serving food can serve alcohol, people can sit outdoors in outdoor seatings. And I think the kids have suffered enough, to be honest. And they only need, this is one time in their life that they get to celebrate their communion or their confirmation. This is for all kids out there. One time in their life that they need it throughout their life. A guy was on a bus coming out to take my daughter this evening. I was just there a while ago, and I won't mention the pub, but I went past the pub, put in the walking town around the roundabout area, and there wasn't 1 ounce of food on a table.
Yeah, well,
no distance, and everybody just full of points.
Yeah, well, I don't know what pub you're talking about, but anyway, I'm sure people will check that. But Philip, the reason there can't be a ceremony in a church because of numbers, and churches are all online at the minute. I know that doesn't mean a lot to people who don't have the internet,
Joe,
whatever.
But yeah, Joe, just 25 people can go and attend a wedding. Now, in my personal opinion, I think a communion is a lot more important than a wedding, to be honest.
Okay.
You know, it's kids need it for their life to get them through life, like the communion, the confirmation, the baptism, so on and so forth.
The sacraments, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Exactly, and I think the government is just—it's going backwards. The kids are suffering enough as it is, to be honest.
And have you explained to your daughter why she can't have the ceremony at this stage?
I haven't, to be honest, because we only got the email this morning, as I said, Joe, and I'm getting my daughter there at 2:30, so I have to explain to her, and she's just going to break her heart because they suffer enough. They're in lockdown in the house for the first 4 months, and like, it's not good for a kid's mental health, you know, either.
To be constantly disappointed. Let me go to Nick. Thanks, Philip. That's Philip O'Reilly. Nick of Nicky's Fish. That's Nicky's Fish in Holt, is it, Nick?
No, it's Nick's Fish in Ashbourne.
Oh, Nick's Fish. Okay, that's how I was getting mixed up at Nicky's place. What's your situation, Nick?
Well, basically, we process fish. We're in Ashbourne. We have about 40 staff. We mainly supply restaurants, catering industry.
Okay.
Our problem is that we would have a 3 or 4 day supply line. So I will talk to boats on a Thursday and they will tell me what they're landing on Sunday night and we will get it on Monday morning, early, late Sunday night.
Okay.
We would have, say, on last Thursday, we would have been listening to what came from Neffet.
Mm-hmm.
We would have said, okay, things look, oh, they're not doing anything drastic or immediate. So we would commit to buy a lot of fish. Now, our product has a 3 day shelf life, so we get it on a Monday. On a Sunday night, the idea is this is a roadmap. A roadmap means people use the road. What we seem to have done is somebody straight away went off-road on a Sunday night. I understand completely the need for lockdowns. I have no problem with that. I'm coming from an industry that's on its knees as it is. Every time, we had 140 boxes of fish that we literally had to ship all over the country and some of it out of the country at a huge discount to try and move it, because we don't freeze fish. We have a retail business, Nick's Fish in Ashbourne. We've nothing that has days previously frozen. Everything we sell is fresh. It makes it almost impossible if they won't stick with the way they say they're going to do it. I understand completely the need for lockdown.
And can you freeze the fish?
We can, but it's not the quality of product we've ever tried to sell. We're not, you know, the stuff you get in the backpacks and supermarkets. That's not what we're selling. We could do that, but that'd be a complete departure from what I'd be literally pulling a fast one on the customers if I suddenly start selling them frozen fish. We don't do it. We just don't do it.
And how much worth of fish have you got in the warehouse now?
We would have had about 130, 140 grand worth of fish coming in during those 3 days. Normally we can absorb that kind of pain. Over, you know, in a year something will go wrong. It's an industry where you're dealing with wild, fresh products.
Yeah, okay, good point.
But, there's no blood left in. There's no blood left in the pig at this stage. We literally have nothing left to give. So, what I would really say is, can we have a situation where we get a couple of days' notice?
Mm-hmm.
And all people selling vegetables. I mean, like we had guys yesterday ringing us who had ordered products on a Sunday before they got the announcement. Ringing us on a Monday, saying we don't want that anymore. We had to turn vans back,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of it.
And like, can you get rid of? Can you offload the fish? I know one chap.
Yeah, okay, go ahead. Sorry.
I know one chap a few weeks ago when the lockdown in Dublin came at such short notice, 24 hours I think, like this one. I think he set up a stall in St Anne's Park in Clontarf. Rahini, and there was a 5-hour queue, apparently. It was madness, but people bought his fish.
you know, okay, I don't know the actual volume of product he actually has. But I know, I know we have a retail shop. I know how much you can put across the counter in a day. If you're putting any more than $5,000 across the counter in a day, you're doing really, really well. And I'm not going to, I don't know that individual case, but I know at the volume of product we were trying to sell, we wouldn't have had a hope of putting it across the counter. Now we have products still coming in. We're doing offers. We're doing home delivery. We're doing lots of things. But if you've got 3 days, 3 days isn't a long time to read. If a product has 3 day shelf life, you find out on day one, you've only got day two and one and a half left before you can do anything with it.
So what's the option? What are the options?
The option is that like in a small business like ours, we've a meeting a couple of days a week. We say on a Friday, what has happened on the Thursday? What are we likely to be closed anywhere? We believed on Friday we weren't going to be closed anywhere. This is a small operation. If you have a country that can't replicate that and say when they say on a Thursday, everything is fine, and then by Sunday, without any major changes happening, they say we've gone from like it is a roadmap. The idea we go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The suggestion to go from 2 to 5.
But you have the problem is the virus is completely every think of every exasperation you can muster. The virus is all of them and more. That's the problem.
True, but if I tell 40 people they don't have a job anymore,
I don't know
what effect that's going to have on their lives as well. I appreciate the virus.
I don't know how the business works. Like you mentioned, you talk to a trawler on Thursday and he comes in on a Sunday. Have you already booked fish in? Do you follow me?
Yes, I would have. That guy, say, for one particular guy I'm thinking of in my head as an example, he would have gone to sea again on Sunday after the truck left. Hit us on Sunday night. He would have gone to sea again. I've committed that I'm going to take a certain number of boxes off him on Thursday. Now, I've committed I'm going to do it. The way we work is that we say we're going to do it, we do it. Somebody asked me, do we have contracts? No, the contract is that we say we're going to do it.
We're going to do it. Your word, yeah.
So we're going to have 50 boxes of hake actually off that particular guy. We're going to have it. That's all there's to it. There's nothing I can do about that. It's the time, it's the notice. We have no problem. I understand completely the need for lockdowns and restrictions, but to go from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4, I know people will say it isn't just about an economy, but people's livelihood and people's lives, it does make a difference too, you know.
That would seem to be the whole argument between the government and Neffet, the lives and livelihoods was the phrase. Lives and livelihoods.
The livelihood is also connected with well-being.
Nick, why? I'm probably naive, but I thought the mistake they made up in St. Anne's Park was they should have just said, we're selling mixed bags of fish for €20, pre-packed, here you are, give me €20 quick, wherever people were queuing up for 5 hours, I'm told.
I'm trying to think of a way
for you. If you said on Friday in Ashbourne that
we sell online, we've 14 and we can deliver all over eight, nine counties. But I wouldn't, if you said to me, do you want 5 hours of a queue outside?
I'm trying to give you an idea of how to avoid 5 hours of a queue. And the idea is everything, people don't come along and say, I want a half a sole and 2 hake and 3 pounds of scallops. What you say is everyone gets a bag, 20 quid, 20 quid, 20 quid, 20 quid. And I guarantee it's a good bag, good value bag of mixed fish.
We can do exactly that by just going on Nick's Fish Facebook. And we have a Shopify account. Okay. So you can do that where we drop it outside your door. But I wouldn't want a half an hour queue. We only allow two people.
And the queue, by the way, the queue in St. Anne's Park was the most civil queue I've ever seen in all my world. They're very civil people up there. But it was a very civil queue. Nobody complained. I can't queue for the life of me. But anyway,
I'd run a mile if I saw that many people in one spot.
I'm trying to think of ideas. If anyone else has any better ideas, let us know on 1850 715-815. Try and stay above water, Nick. Really, that's Nick.
If someone asked me, was I willing to talk on this? My first reaction was, I could talk the back legs off an ostrich, but there's so much of the, and people like me and everybody in this, we process food, but people in the restaurant industry, there's so much of the fight has gone out of us at this stage that it's even hard to motivate yourself to take the phone call, if you can understand what I'm trying to say, Joe. But thank you for talking to me.
Okay, and Nick, thanks for contacting us. That's Nick from Nick's Fish in Ashbourne. Anne, good afternoon. Your point, please.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you? I agree with one of your previous callers. I was under the impression last night from listening to the Taoiseach that the police had more powers. And they were going to him. That's the problem. You see, they don't follow through. There's no repercussions for what happens, what people do. Do you know what I mean? To get away with everything. And also, I thought the way Leo spoke about the people last night, Dr. Hoolan and Ephes, was an absolute disgrace. You know, it didn't hit them in the pocket. Sure, nothing that we all have to pay for, nothing hits them in the pocket either. But he's way out of line insulting them like that.
The problem that we had with the proposal that was put to us today was that we didn't feel it had been thought through properly.
Do you have full confidence in Neffet?
I have confidence in Neffet to dispense public health advice, but that is what they do. They don't advise the public, they advise the government, and the government decides. And I do think one thing that needs to be borne in mind, you know, very good people, 40 of them, but all coming from medical or scientific or civil service backgrounds. None of those people, for example, would have faced being on the pandemic unemployment payment yesterday. None of them would have to tell somebody that they were losing their job. And none of them would have had to shutter a business for the last time. I think what happened in the last couple of days wasn't good for anyone. Wasn't good for Neffet, isn't good for government, and really wasn't good for the Irish people, many of whom were worried sick today.
That's it, Anne.
That's it, yeah. Oh, my God. But do you know something, Joe? We did need a bit of a shock, because I'll tell you, I think some people have gone lax.
Well, what did you object to what Leo Varadkar said?
Was he like, not on the pandemic payment. They're not on... That's fair enough. But he's not on the pandemic. If he was at Go tomorrow, he's not on the pandemic payment or going to be getting anything cut to him. Do you know what I mean? Why did he have to be so rude? You don't have to say that. And he was glad to follow all their information all along up to now. And they are medical doctors. Whether they're right or wrong or that, but you don't come out and make little of them like that. But to me, that's what he did. Do you know what I mean?
He was rude. What was he saying? They're all in comfortable, permanent, pensionable jobs.
Yes, exactly, yeah. And then, you know, but they are all just medical advisors. They're all given the best advice possible. And there were one or two, I did forget their names, was interviewed on Drive Time yesterday evening on your own station, and they agreed with, we were waiting on the Taoiseach to speak, that
but
they
why
agreed
should,
with...
Why should we elevate Neffet to the, as Michael O'Regan, formerly of the Irish Times, said, why should we elevate Neffet to the status of untouchable saints?
No, they're not on the stage. That's all wrong. No, they're
status,
not on that. Yeah, yeah. They could, but they should be well listened to. They didn't make... Why did they say what they said? They're not saying it for fun. They're not saying it just to upset everybody. I'm not saying we should be... And it'd be horrific. And it is horrific now. Like, I'm in my late 60s. It is horrific.
Well,
but you just do it.
Well, do you think the government were upset that the letter was leaked on Sunday night?
That's exactly, Joe. Exactly.
The government... Well, we heard it yesterday. People said they couldn't sleep. But the government being put on the back foot.
Yes, that's what's wrong with them, you see. But why did that happen? Do you know what I mean? I can't understand why that happened. And they should have better relations.
Well, do you think Tony Holohan would be personally offended by what was said?
I think he would be, as regards your medical degree. Nothing, you know what I mean? They're kind of making little of them. That's only my opinion. And maybe, you know, other people don't think like that. But to me, it was very insulting. I mean, they are highly qualified people, and they are giving their opinion. But Leo and the Taoiseach and all, they were all glad to follow them all along. It's because it got out probably first, but should never have come to this. They're meeting and they're chatting and whatever they do to discuss everything. That should have all happened before all this came out. Do you know, how do we go so quick? And you see, now we're at stage three, and we have a little bit of a plus. Nobody's going to follow through on that, Joe.
And did you think, what about the impression that the Taoiseach seemed to give, that the Gardaí would have more powers for
exactly.
level 3?
Exactly,
and now we're
Joe.
Told they won't.
No, they won't. Well, there you. But come here to me. Who do you listen? Who do you follow? That's exactly the impression he gave. And we won't know. We're a bit higher now. We're 2 weeks into it. We should have been coming out maybe this week. But no. And some of the counties, as someone else said, have very low cases.
Very low, Leash and places
very,
like that. Yeah,
they're very low cases.
Trish, come through, Trish. Thanks, Anne. Go ahead, Trish.
Thank you, Joe.
Your point, please.
What I really agreed with the first speaker in the programme, that the Gardaí, top on government, yeah, the Gardaí need more powers. I think people's livelihoods would be better protected if the Gardaí, if people got the kind of shock that, oh God, I have a consequence here for not doing this. You know, like, I really, really get annoyed when people get
and
away.
What should be the
Gardaí
if somebody is caught sneaking over the border between Dublin and Wicklow, what should be the penalty?
I don't know now. I'm glad it's not my job to decide.
Well, should it be? Obviously, it should be a fine.
Explanation, they should be turned back.
Well, there's two options. If you're sneaking, invariably, unless you take to the hills like a partisan and try and go through the Dublin Wicklow mountains. But if you to go from Dublin to Wicklow, you invariably are in a car or a bus. Well, bus is not much so lately. So, do you think they should get penalty points or get a fine? Or that car should be
I didn't think
a
penalty point, but I think a real and actual thing that would say, oh, fuck off, why did I do that? You know, I think it has to be someone, or the people who are parking on streets and stuff like that, which is so stupid, and it's so, do they not know that they're going to get it as well? But I think the big thing, and I hate the fact that I heard the programme, I don't know which of the programmes it was, and they interviewed people in Bray, and she was saying, well, I could have gone to host, but that would be miles away. Bray is only down the road from me, but she was over the border, and the Gardaí couldn't turn her back. You know, we have to just, they're making lame ducks with the Gardaí, and it's making a
so you're saying give them the laws,
even though I know their staff people said they don't want to have the powers, but I think they have to, there has to be a concrete, actual punishment for breaking what everybody's trying to do, and people's livelihoods would be better protected because the numbers would go down that quick way that they went kind of before, and people, I really do have sympathy for the like of Nick they're talking about. They've ordered in stuff, all the food industry, and they're kind of nearly the safest places really to be because they take such, so you know, there's loads
and
of
what
things.
Do you think of the clampdown now, level 3 countrywide on pubs, only outdoor service if for 15 people max?
Yeah, that's hard on them, all right. I haven't been to a pub. I don't know how. Yeah, it is. It's very hard for them to only have a few people. How can they keep going in business? You know. Mm. But I do think if the government cop on and give the Gardaí the power to enforce, and would they try the other ease? All the radios and the government have been educating and encouraging for 6 months. There's only one E left, and that's enforcement.
Okay. Thanks, E. Bernard Kilrain and me. That's Trish. Bernard Kilrain, E. Only one E left, as Trish said. Enforcement. What do you think?
I agree totally.
So how will we enforce? Money, penalty points, confiscation. They'll change the law, but what do you want them to change it to?
Well, I mean, it would have to give the Gardaí power that if somebody is going or breaking the regulations, that there will be a penalty in some form for that. I mean, at the moment, it would appear that the guards can stop somebody and say, look, you're out of your area. And the person can say, no, you can't make me do that, and I'll go ahead. I mean, that is totally wrong. It's demoralising for the guards. It will mean that there'll be no respect for the guards because people will say, oh, look, there's somebody got away with it, so I'm going to do the same. It will be a total breakdown of any sort of order, and it just cause mayhem.
But tell me, what is it a penalty point? Is it imprisonment if you don't pay your fine? What is it?
Well, yeah, I think a fine would be the initial.
And
thing.
If I don't pay the fine?
If I don't, then you have to go to prison. I mean, I think you have to make example out of people who
and
are.
And what
breaking
about
the
people?
Law.
What about people marching down Grafton Street without masks on a Saturday afternoon, apparently up to 2,000, shouting? Yeah. You can imagine the spray from that. Shouting that they won't take a vaccine. God, we wish we had one. They won't take a vaccine if it comes. And they won't wear masks and they won't abide by the regulations. And COVID is a hoax. What should be done with them?
Well, I mean, there have to be whatever meeting there is should be broken up, and if there's you have to give the powers to the Gardaí to arrest people who are advocating this. They should be asked to go home and not to congregate, and social distancing should be observed.
Yeah, but how do the Gardaí arrest members of a large group congregating
together, not wearing masks?
We don't want the Gardaí getting COVID.
No, but you don't allow a huge crowd to...
How do you stop it?
The people who arrive there and who are advocating this are waving placards. They should be arrested, and then the rest of the people who are planning on doing something like that, there has to be consequences if we don't do anything. Well, we might as well just throw up our hands.
The second part of your call, you say off licences.
Absolutely, off licences. I hear of people coming out of pubs, going to the off licence, getting slabs of beer or whatever. That should be totally banned. I think to be difficult to enforce a total ban on off licence, but there should be much stricter regulations, say that maybe 8 o'clock in the evening, all shut down. Nobody is allowed to sell any alcohol, either in a pub or...
Well, then you get the Smith's Toy Store phenomenon that the rush happens earlier.
No, I don't think so.
The December rush for Smith's to help Santa get the toys. The December rush happened yesterday.
No, I think as well as that, there should be a limit that people... It should be illegal to sell a slab. There should be a six-pack for any person or a bottle of wine, and that's any individual. They should not be allowed to stock up with huge amounts of drink.
Well, you can be guaranteed... One thing that's guaranteed tomorrow week... What day is today? This day week. The budget's this day week.
Right.
One thing can be guaranteed, that the price of wine and the price of beer and the price of spirits is going to go through the roof. That's where they're going to get money. Okay, Shane Henry. Thanks indeed, Bernard. Shane Henry is in Sligo. Level 3, level 5.
Yeah. Shane. Hi, Joe. How's it going? My name is Shane Henry. My brother is in a nursing home in Sligo. Sligo City, or Sligo Town Centre.
Right.
And we've just been told there's no visits for people in nursing homes now. He's 42 He's got MS. But, you know, apart from being stuck in a wheelchair, he's fine, you know. And I think it's disgraceful that they've locked down counties that have very low cases, you know. They've just done a blanket lockdown. And to be honest with you, this level 3 lockdown, really all that's changed is you can't go to mass, you can't see sick relatives in a nursing home. You know.
You can't go over the border.
And you can't go over the county line, I would actually be able to see my brother. That'd be an essential trip if they hadn't closed down the nursing homes. I just think it's totally unfair that they're putting a blanket on the whole lot. When there's I think Sligo's very low in cases, to be honest with you. Has been since the start.
Well, the Social Democrats were on at lunchtime.
Yeah.
Saying that there should be it should be done county by county.
They
thought that was the deal.
The
system ratcheting up. What does it mean, you not being able to see your 42-year-old young brother?
Well, it means he's suffering. He's suffering probably more than me because he's stuck in a nursing home. And there's a lot of people in the nursing home that are a lot sicker than him. And they're not able to.
He's very young to be in a nursing home.
Yeah, he's got multiple sclerosis. He's been in there. He's been in hospital now for 2 years. He's in the hospital for about a year, and he was in the nursing home for about a year now. So he's had already about 3 months since the start of lockdown where we weren't able to see him at all. That's 3 months gone, and now we're starting another, God knows how long.
And how did he manage during the 3 months? How did he manage?
I don't know. We were speaking to him a lot on the phone, but, you know, obviously, you know, it's not the same speaking to someone on the phone as seeing them, do you know?
Of course it is.
You can't see someone smiling, you can't have the crack as much, do you know?
And are many in family, Shane?
There's three boys and my brother in Sligo.
And I see, unfortunately, your mother died.
My mother passed away two and a bit months ago. Yeah. Oh, so, and she didn't get to see much of him now. Do you know? when she was kind of like, it was kind of a quick illness, like, so she still had time where she could have seen him, and she wasn't able to see him because of the lockdown, you know, so she could have spent more time with him. So I just think it's a disgrace, you know.
So you're, and I don't actually, what you're making, just another angle to your point. Okay, yeah. You were saying, why don't you do a county by county?
Yeah,
and that means, okay, Sligo could stay on level two or whatever.
Yeah.
And that means nursing homes would open. Now, the border might not affect you because all the counties around Sligo might be on level three, so they can't come into Sligo and you can't go into Roscommon, Mayo,
Roscommon, Mayo,
Donegal, there, one small patch. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah, Leitrim.
Okay,
And I just, another thing as well, like, they're doing all these lockdowns and stuff, and, you know, I don't see any science behind what they're doing, like, you know. I know they're testing more, yeah, that's fair enough, right? Mm. But people are showing up positive for tests, but they're not sick, like, do you know?
That was one point that the Tarnish was making last week. That the numbers are upping, but
it's the debt rate that you have to go by. And
it's a hospital. Well, they were worried about the hospital and ICU rates. And
Well, our debt rate as well. Then what was it? It was zero yesterday, zero the day before, and it was four the day before that. Like, how many people? There's 280 people dying in this country every day. It's 30,000 a year. I think that works out with 280.
I know we have car crashes and we've cancer, and you've got to. Is there a debate about what is? It's even when I say it, you realise you're treading on very, very thin ice.
Yeah.
Is there a debate about the acceptable level of casualties?
No, there's not. I think basically the cost value analysis hasn't been done correctly. And there's a lot more people going to die, that have died probably, and are going to die because of the restrictions as opposed to, you know,
but you can't,
all just go about our business.
Yeah, but you can't put a value on a life. Shane, kind regard. Now, remember, if there's any other ways of contacting your brother, post, leaving in, has he a radio, is he a television, is he...
Yeah, he's a television. We speak to him about 6 or 7 times a day on the phone.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
well done. You're great.
He's not on his own.
Your mum would be proud of you all. Fair play to you, Shane. That's okay. Shane Henry in Sligo. 51551, my chant.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.